This is the Red Shirt Geeks podcast, which makes its home at redshirtgeeks.com.
And so it begins.
Files accessed. Transfer of data complete.
Commencing.
Ladies, gentlemen, and those who prefer Coke over Pepsi, by Alex's sweet, sweet beard, we are the Red Shirt Geeks.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Shooting the proton torpedoes and, like, make us go that way.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Very bad feeling.
Shut up, Wesley!
Red Shirt Geeks!
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Hide behind the mound. Dead Barnes.
Make it so.
I'm Laz D, the pseudo Kiwi.
I'm the illustrious Patrick M.
And I'm Sweet Beard of Zeus Alex.
And I'm Dave the Drunk.
Woo!
How stunningly accurate.
Stunningly accurate. Obviously, we need some adult beverage to wash down this show, but oh well.
Most like our, just like our audience. That's all, folks. That's right.
Caffeine and beer.
In this wonderful episode, we're gonna
it's the musical episode.
Talking about our favorite musicals like Chicago and Glee.
No, never. Die. Oh, sorry, just getting a little out of there.
I'm sorry, Lars just quit the show. It was a really, really, really bad show.
Okay.
In this episode, we are definitely going to talk about something really, really cool. Although half of us don't like half of the other shows as much as we should like them. We're going to talk about superhero shows. That's right. We're going to rehash again superhero shows because that's not overdone.
What do you classify as a superhero show there, Lars?
Eight is Enough.
Modern Family.
Yeah, Brady Bunch.
Family Matters. Sure, look, Urkel was my hero, whether you guys want to believe it or not.
Urkel was a superhero.
Clearly, okay. The car that he drove is similar to the Batmobile in many ways.
Just saying, he's the only person I know that can change himself from Steven to Stefan and not have to pay for it.
And don't forget the only show that can't be used in the modern time and remade, Leave It to Beaver. Let's be honest on that one.
I know. Let's not even talk about that. But see,
that may, dirtiest that may be, phrase a,
that
in
may
television
be something that shows up on HBO version.
HBO does Leave It to Beaver.
After Game of Thrones.
Is that written by George R. R. Martin as well? It's the sideshow from George R. R. Martin.
Yeah. But to be honest, what we're going to really talk about is superhero and comic book shows because a lot of them have premiered in the last few weeks, like Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Gotham, Arrow has come back for another season, Flash is just starting up. Of course, there's The Walking Dead. So we're going to talk about all of them. So who wants to start with this one?
I'll start.
They all suck?
I volunteer as tribute.
That's the spirit.
Good, no one likes you.
Nobody likes you. You're bad and you should feel bad.
Lars, I think you're the only one that doesn't like any of the shows on the list, except for maybe Constantine because it hasn't come out yet.
And The Walking Dead because it technically did premiere yesterday according to where we are when this show airs. But
we're recording this on Friday. So
yeah, we record on Friday. The shows come out on Sunday and we air on Monday. That's right, kids. No, seriously. We've got a list here. We've got Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Gotham, Arrow, Flash, The Walking Dead, and Constantine. Okay. Well, let me just kind of run down my opinions on the shows as I see them, and then this will be pretty quick, right? That's right. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now you know I am a Marvel fan. I prefer Marvel over DC. Love the movies. Love
Bushley.
I even tolerated The Amazing Spider-Man, how dreadfully bad it was, okay? Bad enough that I didn't even watch the second one. But
that's after Emo Spider-Man was Emo in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
You even liked Daredevil, didn't you?
Spider-Man. I actually probably would rather watch Elektra than Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow. Look, okay.
Don't get me wrong.
Look, as bad as Elektra is, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I would.
at least Elektra had a pretty cool soundtrack.
Jennifer Garner's boobs?
Moobs. The moobs. Okay, because we all know Jennifer Garner is secretly a man.
Yep.
So. Okay.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, I love the character of Coulson. Have loved him since he appeared in Iron Man. But seriously, you know, it was just like, we've got to really tap into the wonderful, wonderful treasure trove that is the Avengers or Marvel superheroes. So let's make a primetime TV show where we don't really have any decent characters at all. Like, none. I mean, let's pull the one guy that we could probably use to pull viewers in and make him, quote unquote, not dead anymore. And then, bam, it's like, here you go. Here's a season's worth of mediocre superheroes doing nothing important.
I couldn't agree more. I think it was the biggest cop-out when they were like, nope, he's not dead.
And I'm like, come on, guys. I mean, seriously, I want to scream Ron Burgundy's line from Anchorman. You know, Audrey, look at these bags. It's Bush League. This is Bush League, Audrey. Yeah. Audrey.
Audrey, look at me. Now this is where I actually have to disagree with you guys. And before we go any farther, we are not going to do any spoilers for current seasons, but anything in prior seasons is fair game. So
that's okay, because I can't spoil it because I refuse to watch it.
I actually watched through the first three episodes tonight, so in preparation, because I'm the only one who doesn't despise the show.
Did you use my Verizon login again?
It's like only three times.
They took all the least favorite comics that probably are read by 10 people and took all those heroes that no one actually even either knows or reads about and put them into a show to give them their last chance.
Actually, I don't think they really put any of the characters in. I think Deathlok was about the only character I know that came from comics. And that he shows up at some point in the season. It ties in with actually the first episode. So you saw the character that eventually becomes Deathlok. So, but the thing is, I think it was meant to be kind of parallel to the Marvel Universe and just kind of a story and a reason to get Agent Coulson out for some things. Yes, I was kind of disappointed in the sense that it took away from the fact that he died in the Avengers, and that was one of the most awesome and great moments of the movie is dealing with the death of Coulson and, hey, oh, he's not dead. That kind of cut it out. But for the chance to see more of Coulson, I kind of gave this show a while. The one thing that made it interesting is that later in the season, if you've watched the events of Captain America: The Winter Soldier, those events parallel exactly what happens in the show, because by the end, S.H.I.E.L.D. is no more and Hydra is scattered all over the place. And of course, Nick Fury's walked away. And he eventually, and this is in the show, he turns the reins of rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D. over to Agent Coulson by the end of season one, which leads us to season two and S.H.I.E.L.D. being not okay with the U.S. government and Hydra being all over the place. So what I will say about season two is it's kind of Hydra versus S.H.I.E.L.D. and they're fighting, and then there's third parties and some of the baddies from season one are still there and it's just kind of interesting.
So there are two seasons now?
Yeah, season two started a few weeks ago. The premiere episode was actually the night we recorded the interview with Aaron Eisenberg, which is why I missed the first episode when it aired, and the second and the third. And
okay. I'm surprised it got a second season.
Well, it must have had enough viewership.
Yeah, I mean, I'm serious. Since they're trying to jump,
so does Honey Boo Boo.
Point taken.
I'm trying to, you know, I would like to see, you know, if we're gonna have mediocre, completely obsolete Marvel characters, you know, show up in a TV show. I mean, they might as well bring in Blade. They might as well bring in Howard the Duck. You know, come on, man.
They did.
Yeah, and Guardians, we got Howard the Duck.
Yeah, seriously, it's gonna be like, what is it gonna be like in the end of season two of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be some big reveal where Coulson did die. It's just his appearance was stimulated by Howard the Duck, you know.
Actually, now
that I would watch.
Actually, it did answer how Coulson died and was brought back, and it was pretty messed up. I don't think they've answered all the questions, but season one does include a detailed explanation of what it took to rebuild Coulson, because he was dead for days.
I would say that basically, the big question that they should be answering on this show is how they keep finding a way to get more seasons. But, you know, look, I understand. I know I'm seriously bashing a show that at least, 25% of the Redshirt Geeks like.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's not for everybody. And the premise was obviously, I think it was designed to be more mainstream than it was to be superhero, because they wanted to pull in the people that might have liked the Avengers but didn't go out for every Captain America and Thor movie and Incredible Hulk and all three Iron Mans. But they liked the Avengers enough. It was like, okay, that was a pretty good movie, but I don't know if I like superheroes. So here's a show that doesn't have a bunch of superheroes, but has a little bit of superhero.
Yeah, no. Let's move on to our next show on the list, Gotham. Now,
how many episodes do we have of that up right now?
One.
Three are out. The fourth episode will be airing the same night that this podcast airs.
A one.
So
a two.
Later tonight.
A three.
From the podcast post.
A three. Yay.
Or possibly before. I don't know when the podcast airs.
Okay. Now let's talk about
how in tune I am.
What's the premise of Gotham?
If you can't figure out the premise of Gotham just from the title, then you don't need to be watching this show, because I don't think anybody really needs to be watching this show, because they really
podcasting. If you're watching it, you're staring at lines on a screen.
From the first episode, this show jumped the shock, and I mean so the premise of the show is that it is Gotham City before the age of Batman. We have a young Bruce Wayne, we have a very young Jim Gordon when he was still with the Gotham PD, Harvey Dent as a detective, and it starts
roughly with the events that led with the part of the origin story of Batman. In other words, Thomas and Martha Wayne snuffing.
It basically that's where it starts off with. It's with the Waynes getting snuffed. Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. Great premise. Like the idea of it, seeing a gritty underbelly, something that doesn't necessarily have to be Batman. I mean, look, hopefully this will be more successful than that pile of garbage that was, Birds of Prey. That came out probably, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 years ago.
I don't even remember that one.
Yeah, that's okay. It's because I think it may have made a season, maybe, where it was Gotham City. Batman decides to leave town for whatever reason. So four female superheroes decide to band together and step up and protect Gotham City. Yeah, that didn't work out so well either. So, you have this somewhat origin story for Bruce Wayne and, some of Gotham's most, historical villains, most well-known villains. But at the same time, in the first episode, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, did they introduce like seven?
Yeah, I'm sitting here stirring in my seat, man. We actually just talked about this this very topic on the last episode of the Doomed Away Team, episode 13. Yay. And thank you. And Gotham's been a big disappointment. I've kept current with it. I've seen the three episodes that have come out so far. The first episode, they leave nothing to your imagination. They air like every frickin' villain that they could possibly have. They hint at a character being the Joker, but I've read into that, and the makers of the show are actually planning on hinting at the Joker several times to different characters to keep you in suspense. They introduce the Catwoman, they introduce, Poison Ivy, they introduce the Riddler, they introduce the Penguin, they introduce Fish Mooney, they introduce the other big guy, I can't think of his name. They basically just go down the list, and it's so obviously in your face that they introduce these characters, and it's painful. Something that could have been like a nice little wink or a nod in the direction of said character,
they turned into just grinding it into your soul that this is the character and leave no room for any question, you know? And I really think that the writing is awful. You know, so, it reminds me a lot of that show Revolution that came out. What was it? Two seasons back or whatever. Mm-hmm. That still has a show, and I have no idea how, you know.
So basically, the amount of characters they shoved into this first episode was basically more or less in response to the lack of Batman villains in the Dark Knight trilogy. Oh, we had the Joker and the League of Shadows, and that's it. So, hey, let's just throw every character we could find into the Gotham. Yay!
Well, I don't necessarily think it was that. I mean, they had a great premise going with the comic book GCPD. Yeah. If they would have ran the show off of that, I think it would have been a great show. But no, it's like they advertised it as being something that was, you know, the backdrop of Gotham without Bruce Wayne and without Batman. And then they just turned it into another Batman prequel, you know.
Well, what do you think? What do you think, Alex? Have you watched much of the Gotham series?
Yeah, I'm probably going to play devil's advocate here. I think that why they did what they did is to create a flat character base so you can watch the characters evolve throughout the show instead of just, you know, you guessing. You already know who the people are, so you can actually see what they're going through to become the characters who they finally become.
Okay, well, that's awesome.
That's my perspective on it.
That's a fair thought.
That could work.
Okay, well, that's great. Thanks, Alex. And you're fired.
Well, Lars, you pretty much hate everything. You probably hate Arrow, too.
Yeah, let's talk about Arrow. Let's talk about Arrow.
Let's talk about Arrow. Yeah. I've got some thoughts.
Okay. The show itself, great premise. And actually not as terrible an execution as
other shows. Before you get too deep into it, how far up to date on the show are you, Lars?
I'm not going to lie, I probably made it about halfway through the first season.
Okay, cool.
I finished the first whole season, so I'm that far.
Okay.
And yeah. I'm waiting to watch season two as soon as I get caught up on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say it's a terrible show. I just think that, I think, again, what happens is, when these people are making these shows, these superhero shows, they're doing things that either purposely or inadvertently isolate or alienate their core audience or their core fans, which are the geeks, you know. And they come up with these convoluted stories for these characters, and I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Just give me a damn good, simple, good versus evil story. We know that the character is flawed. You don't have to make it, you know, you don't have to drag it out for me, okay? I'm not that dumb.
I kind of like the more flawed characters, personally.
I love flawed characters. Love them. It's just, I don't have to be reminded as to why they're flawed all the freaking time.
No, that's great, and I like having your perspective, having not seen season two or anything like that yet. I hated Arrow when I watched season one. I watched it, you know, I kind of powered through it after the middle of the season or so, just to finish it and say it was done. And I actually vowed to myself that I would never watch it again because I thought it was shit. Then season two came out, and I kind of ran out of things to see. So I was like, all right, well, you know, what the heck? You know, season three is coming up. I'll give season two a try. Watch season two. A lot of changes.
Yeah. What made season two better than season one?
What made season two better was that the writers of the show actually got in contact with the writers of the Green Arrow comic books and found out why season one was wrong. For example, in season one, you've got the Green Arrow, you know, who goes as the Hood, the Arrow, you know, he goes as those. And he's killing people. He's just, you know, going down the street, you know, you have failed this city. And he just ices a dude, right? Season two, they actually made a point to bring out the good comic book morals that you would normally see. And he's starting to say, you know, like, hey, if I kill people, I'm just as bad as the crook. So I'm not going to kill people anymore. You know, obviously it takes
counterpoint. That was actually starting to happen in season one.
Very, very little, very, very little, and not enough to appreciate it as a comic book fan. By season two, you're really starting to see that. You're starting to see you know, like references to other comic book characters. You're starting to see references to other villains and stuff like that really coming into their own in season two. And it's starting to tie everything together and really kind of set it up much like Iron Man did for the Avengers, to start tying in other characters such as the Flash, you know. But moral of the story, season one I thought was awful. Season two got me hooked on the show, and I watched the first episode of season three, enjoyed it. So I'm going to see where it goes.
So I'm definitely going to catch up on that one. You mentioned The Flash, so let's talk about The Flash. Unless anybody else has anything to weigh in on Arrow, other than Lars thing, it sucks.
Yeah, actually, I'm not even going to say it sucks, because as I said prior to the show starting, I have not watched it yet. I have DVR'd it. But at the same time, if it's anything like I've seen in the previews for the show, I have hopes for it. You know, again, you know, Flash, the one other thing about the Flash character is it is basically it's DC trying to find a way to make a character that is human, but still has some ounce of that really super powered element to them, where you can identify with their humanity. I mean, you see a little bit of this happen with Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern, you know, but of course
Ryan Reynolds is involved.
Yeah, then it's just another Ryan Reynolds playing Ryan Reynolds playing Ryan Reynolds movie. But at the same time, I like the idea of the Flash, because think about it. It's one of those characters where you know that this has to be awkward. This has to be awkward for this guy, because, I mean, yes, he can run. He can move really fast. Okay, yes, he's faster than the fastest thing. It's really, really fast. But for me, as a geek, and a jaded geek, is that it also makes you wonder just how difficult other things in life are for the Flash. You know, I mean, is he sort of single a lot because of it, because he's going too fast?
like when he wears the ladies out? Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. I'm done.
Yeah. Seriously. So don't get me wrong. I mean, like I said, I haven't watched the show, so I'm not going to dwell too much on it. I'm going to leave it to those of us who actually have watched it to chime in.
I think that was just Alex and myself. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Alex, you've seen it?
Yeah.
So, all right.
One episode, right?
Yeah, just the first episode that came out Tuesday. Tuesday. Last Tuesday.
And this will have some tie-in with Arrow at some point, I'm sure.
Well, it did, and the Flash's origin story was actually premiered in season two of The Arrow.
Ah.
It was near the end. It wasn't the last episode, but it was, within the last six or seven episodes, something like that. They actually showed how, you know, he becomes the Flash, essentially. They leave a lot to your imagination, but I was very happy to see that the first episode of the show overlapped that. And, kept true with what they showed in The Arrow and filled in all the missing pieces for you. And I thought they did a pretty good job. I enjoyed the first episode.
Yeah, no, it was really, I mean, I'm a huge Barry Allen fan, so I knew I was going to like it anyway. So I might be more pro towards it. I just think that they did really well. They kept a lot of the story the same. And
that's true, yeah.
I mean, the very first villain, he had pretty awesome powers, you know, and like they set a good premise to why there were a lot of powers, you know. I guess I don't want to give any spoilers, but you clearly see that there's going to be a lot of people in that city that were affected by that blast that could potentially have, you know, thousands of different types of powers. So it really sets it up for a lot of different villains, which I'm a fan
of. A lot of future episodes, yeah.
Exactly.
It's kind of the same way, the same premise they started off with Smallville. You know, you knew the core character was always going to be Clark Kent, but at the same time, they introduced an element that allowed them to quickly expand the villain list without limits.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Moving on,
yes. Now, this is something that we've all seen. We're talking about The Walking Dead.
So with this one, we've got four seasons, and season five has just premiered, although we haven't seen. We haven't been able to see that yet because it hasn't premiered for
it us premiered as we record. Yesterday, but it's in the future for us.
It's in the future.
Yeah. Welcome to the world. Obviously, of tomorrow.
Shut up, Terry.
I will say I'm not all the way there. I'm still cranking through season four, trying to get there before season five hits because I think it only dropped. Season four dropped on Netflix only in the last couple weeks, and I was still trying to finish up Breaking Bad. So yeah, I'm trying to rush through real fast here to get.
I'm going to talk about season four a little bit of Walking Dead just simply because it wasn't as bad as season three. But it was nowhere near as good as season two. It's almost like Enterprise. Like, what are you guys doing? Yeah. Wait, come on, guys.
It wasn't season two the farm.
Season two was the bad one, man. I think you're getting those.
That was the farm.
I thought season three was the farm. Oh,
season three was them going to the prison.
Season four, they get ousted
from the prison.
That's right, yeah.
Season two is just one long episode at the farm.
That's right.
Don't talk to anybody that's read the comics because that's like a losing battle because they're just going to tell you left and right.
It's not like this. I'm trying to remain unbiased, you know, because I have read the comic and I've watched some of the show.
Yeah.
But I mean, of course, you know, just exactly as you said, I could easily be like, it's not like this at all.
But you have to remember, and this is a point I've heard made in other locations. Obviously, you're going to change things when you're going to a broader audience than hardcore comic book fans.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And that's why I'm not too hard on it. I think a lot of people don't respect that. You see the same thing with Game of Thrones between the people that have read the books and the people that watch the show. You know? I've done both. They're both very different things, and I respect that.
Yeah. I mean, you expect some core things to try to remain the same, and if they go too far, that's when they start really kind of going, eh. But, yeah, as long as they retain the core things that make the comic work, they'll usually, if they retain those in the movie, like, for example, with you said with Arrow, season one, he was a little kill-happy, which... Mm-hmm. Obviously, as he evolved through season one, he got better. And then you said by season two, it's pretty much he's got a code of conduct that doesn't kill people anymore.
Exactly.
Right. With Walking Dead, it may vary widely from what happens, but you still have basic characters and the basic situation premise are the same. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, where the stories diverge, it's for the sake of better television versus better comic books.
Yeah, I mean, look, we go back to The Walking Dead for a little bit. We spent basically season four was we're kind of split up a bit. You know, some people have gone missing, so they all decided to kind of keep look for each other, and they have these little sort of side adventures along the way, and they ultimately all decided to head towards this place called Terminus. They're thinking it's got to be good for us because it says Terminus.
Yeah. The governor shows up and with a tank and blows up everything.
Yeah,
because the governor's an idiot.
Yeah, and I'm like sitting there watching this show throughout the fourth season, thinking this can't be good. This is nothing good can come from this. And my wife's like, why? I'm like, it's called Terminus.
And this is The Walking Dead, so you know after they're all gonna get somewhere, it's gonna look good, and then the shit'll hit the fan 5 minutes later.
Well, in season five, it is scheduled to be the last season. Is that right?
Well, let's.
That's a possibility. If they kill off Rick, we know it's probably over.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that season five was scheduled to be the last season. I think they announced that some months ago.
Let me ask anybody who's up
on
the
way to do your homework, guys.
Quick question. Well, I haven't even finished four yet, so.
Yeah, let's not talk about not doing our homework.
Mister, I watched one episode and it sucked.
Do away team. Sorry, a little bit.
Okay.
I think that season five of The Walking Dead has a lot of promise because, you know, again, it puts them into a very not just we're being chased by zombies sort of situation, but we're now having to deal with the crazier, off the radar situation with the people from Terminus, and we've all figured out, anybody who's seen the last episode of season four when they get to Terminus, I think we've all figured out what these guys are doing to survive. So
I'm just going to make a guess because I haven't seen it. There's cannibalism involved, isn't there?
Really? No. What would happen?
I just had that realization. I'm still not getting in the terminus yet. I'm still in the middle of season four, so I haven't gotten to that point. So, yep, it's going to be people-eating time. Yay!
Yeah. So, instead of the dead eating the living, it's the living eating the living. Great shift of premise, guys.
That's awesome.
But hopefully it should do pretty well.
Tender Judith baby. Unless Judith is dead already, which I don't see that, but I haven't watched that far, so I don't know.
Yeah,
so don't tell me.
So let's move on to our last show on the list, which none of us have seen.
None of us premiered.
Because it hasn't started yet. That's right. We're talking about Constantine. Now, Dave, I know you're chomping at the bit to talk about this one. Please lead us in.
Okay, I think out of the four of us, I dare say that I've probably got the most historical knowledge on Constantine. I may be wrong, I don't know.
Give us the basics. All the others have premiered, people have had a chance, so they kind of know what the premise is. Constantine is the one that we know the least about, other than I think there was the movie with Keanu Reeves. That's about it, and I didn't watch it.
There was the movie with Keanu Reeves. I want to say that came out in 2005. I'm not going to say it was close to the comic, but it was under the same premise. The basic premise is that Constantine in the comic book calls himself a magician, and he goes under various different undertakings where he might expel demons, he might perform wardings to protect people, he might, you know, any things you might see some of like pagan witches doing and things like that. And in the comic book, it kind of follows him along his various different adventures, you know, some of which, you know, include Swamp Thing, some of which include Batman. You know, he ties in a lot with some of the other DC comic books. Now the movie with Keanu Reeves really didn't touch on any of that kind of stuff at all.
And that did premiere in 2005, just so you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, I actually watched that movie just before we started the show tonight.
I still like that movie. I was a huge fan of the comic book, which is actually called Hellblazer. It's not called Constantine. And I still enjoy that movie just because it was like, oh, thank God they're finally making, you know, something about Hellblazer. You know, it's not the show that we want it to be. But it's good that we finally see something.
Even though it stars now, Ted.
Right. Well,
Complete side note, by the way. Looks like there's going to be a third Bill and Ted movie. Yay. Oh, well. Anyway, back to Constantine.
Well, in the 2005 movie with Keanu Reeves, you know, he is, you know, a brunette from Los Angeles who's very American, does his things. The comic book, blonde-haired British guy, you know, kind of roaming around England, you know, comes to America a few times, you know, things like that sort. So right away, it's very different. From all the trailers that I've seen of the show, I don't think I could be more excited. This looks almost exactly like the comic book Hellblazer. Of course, you're going to see a little bit of tie-in just because they're similar bases to the movie Constantine. But I mean, this is a dead ringer for the comic book. You know, I've even pulled up with some of my other friends, excuse me, images from the comic book, which exactly duplicate images from the show. And I'm so excited to see how they play that out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really kind of actually curious to see how the show comes out as well, because I mean, it doesn't even have to be anything like the movie. The movie itself it was a standalone piece of work. It had its faults, but also had its bonuses as well. You know, its merits. And I'm like, all right, I'm curious to see this. I want to see what's going on with this show. I want to see where they take this story. Red Shirt Geeks. And on that note, that is all of the time we have for this episode of the Red Shirt Geeks. I'm Laz D, the Pseudo Kiwi. Be sure to check us out online at redshirtgeeks.com.
I'm the illustrious Patrick M. Check us out on Twitter at Red Shirt Geeks.
And I'm Sweet Bearded Zeus Alex, and we're on Facebook.
And I'm Drunken Dave. Check us out on YouTube where you can check out my show, The Doomed Away Team.
Yay.
And check out The Lonely Landing Party.
Come I was going to say, Dave, come on. Seriously, Dave, stop plugging your show, Dave. The Doomed Away Team. All right?
Doomed Away yeah. Team.
Yeah, there's no reason we're to plug The Doomed Away Team on YouTube every time. Yeah,
speaking of which, I totally forgot. There's this really awesome show you guys should check out called The Doomed Away Team. It's on our YouTube channel. Check it out.
Well, you have mentioned The Doomed Away Team, right?
I was going to say, because I saw there's a new show on our YouTube channel. It's just like it. It's called The Doomed Away Team.
That sounds like a pretty good show. I'm going to look
somebody
into
kill
that.
Us, please.
I don't know. It just sounds like a bunch of rubbish and a couple of guys sitting in front of a camera yakking.
Yeah.
Seems like some bull. I'll bet they only have one or two episodes.
Actually, I thought it was 13.
Oh, my goodness. There's 13 episodes? Wow, that sounds pretty legit. I'm going to check that out.
I think we've drug this out long enough.
The Doomed Away Team.
Because we are the Red Shirt Geeks. Where every expendable hero has a home, especially on the Doomed Away Team.
Geeks Podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Permissions beyond the scope of this license may be available at redshirtgeeks.com.